Now I know why this church has the chairs that it does. We're a church that's for serving and not sitting, right? Well, my friends, we are concluding our series based on Leonard Sweet's book, The Gospel According to Starbucks. You remember we began with experience. Epic is the word, and it talks about what happens at Starbucks and helps us to make the transition on what can happen here at church. You have an experience at Starbucks. You have an experience of meeting God here at church. Participate at Starbucks. We participate in church. Starbucks has an image. We are the image of the church as we go forth from this place to let the light and love of God shine through our lives. And today we talk about connectivity. Has anybody ever said to you, let's stay apart for coffee? No, the phrase is, let's get together for coffee, right? Coffee connects. And I think some of the most special times that I've spent in my life have been while sharing a cup of coffee with a friend. And in so doing, I'm sharing my heart. Connectivity is based on relationships. We are a people who are made for relationships. You know, during World War II, there were orphanages across England set up for children whose parents could not be with them or who had been killed. And the babies, they had so many that they had them in cribs in one big room, and the babies' basic needs were met. They were fed and they were diapered. But those kids grew up to have broken lives, because in infancy, they were never touched. They missed out on the relationship. The story of our faith is a story of relationships. God created the world in Adam and Eve so that God could be in relationship with humanity. God furthered that relationship and made it a covenantal relationship when God gave God's word to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, come and be mine. I will be your God. Worship only me, and your descendants will be as many as the stars. And then the covenant was put into written form when Moses was leading God's people to the promised land. You will be my God. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Prophets called the people back from turning away from the true God. And finally, God became one of us and said, this is the promise. This is who I am. And I want to have a relationship with you. We are made for God and for one another. Connections are important. It was extremely discouraging when my husband and I moved from New York State to the small town of Mulberry 16 months ago. And we left 19 years of friendships in New York, along with our two children, Emily in New York City, Elliot in Rochester. And what was even worse was that our cell phones barely worked in Mulberry, only sporadically. I would go up to the attic and lean out the window. The house was next door to the church. I would go stand in the middle of the church parking lot to get a signal. You know, that commercial, "Can you hear me now?" really became true for me. To be disconnected. Not a good thing. But Leonard Sweet says that we as a people are becoming more and more disconnected. That we have traded relationships for refrigerators, relations for elations, and community for commodity. Robert Putnam, a few years ago, captured that in a book that he wrote called Bowling Alone. And what he did was he looked at American culture over the last 50 years, and he found that in the last 20 years, our memberships in clubs has declined by 58%. The number of people who enjoy family dinners on a regular basis had declined by 43%. And those who had friends over to the house, maybe for a cup of coffee, the incidence of that had declined by 38%. And yet the amazing thing was, and most troubling thing, why he named his book this, is that he found in the last 15 years, the number of people who bowled, the number of bowlers, was up 10%. Yet the number of people who joined a league, a team, to bowl with every week had declined by 43%. We are bowling alone, living more and more self-contained individual lives. If you're my age, you remember the song by Simon and Garfunkel. I'm a rock, I'm an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. That's not true. The lonely cry. A couple years ago, the Chicago newspaper carried the story of a 78-year-old woman lived on the 17th floor of a building. She committed suicide, jumping to her death. The note that she left said, "No one writes me letters. No one calls. I am so lonely. It's not worth it." The woman who lived across the hall was about the same age. And when she was talking with the police and they explained to her what had happened, she said, "If only I'd known. I am so lonely too." We are made for connections, hardwired for relationships. Sweet, in his book, says that all of us need to have three places in our lives. The first being our homes. The second, if you're still employed, being our work, or if you're a student, our school. And then he said we need a third place, one that is neutral ground, but a place that when you go there, they have to take you in. Churches used to provide that function for our society. People went to church to celebrate together, to mourn together. Something cataclysmic happened, the people just went to church, and they were together. One of the houses we lived in Rochester was an old 1920s Sears four-square house, and the street was lined with houses from that era, and all of those houses had front porches. And it was so wonderful to call out to one another or to have a neighbor walking by and invite them up. And then when we'd all be just sitting on the porches, we decided we needed to have a pulley system so we could share food down the line. Those kinds of houses were built in the 1920s. What kinds of houses are built now? Do they have front porches? No, they have decks and patios in the backyard, in yards surrounded by privacy fences. We all need a third place, but where do we go for it? And that's one of the strengths of Starbucks, is they provide that third neutral place where you are welcomed and made to feel comfortable. Jim says that after he read the book, that's when he got the idea that our church building is lacking in a kind of a living room space, a place where you can go and just relax, hang back. And so he's been inspired and been working with the trustees to turn room number 7 over here into the church's living room. Actually, people will hang out more. It's kind of going to be like our church family room. Be available for small groups to meet in, to hang out, maybe just to have a cup of coffee together. It's really hard not to be connected here at Christ United Methodist Church. Got greeters at every door. Greeters at the doors, ushers as you come in. A time during the service to stand and turn and to greet your neighbor. When I served churches by myself, I always had that time of welcome and greeting in my services, because I realized that for some widowers, that time of greeting and shaking hands and hugging may be the only time they are touched all week long. We're made for relationships. Our connections with one another are important. And I am so fortunate to follow Herb Wingard. He set up such wonderful systems for this church to connect with one another, with our prayer ministries and our prayer list and foster friends that meets, did you know this, every 2 weeks? And we share the prayer list, and sometimes that prayer list is 3 pages long. And I read the name and what the concern is, and they pick a card, which is handmade by people in the group, and send it around the table and send it out. One man, I guess, who was sick a few weeks ago got the card, and then last Sunday he was here in church, and then this week he got another card, and he called Jim and he said, tell them I'm okay now, they can stop sending me cards. We also have foster friends, a group of people in ministry to our shut-ins and folks who cannot get out and come to church anymore. That's how we connect. And you know, here at Christ Church, you don't have to bowl alone. At 1 o'clock today, we're all going bowling together. We are connected. We're in relationship. But that's not all. That's not all. The book of Romans, Paul writes to that church and says, we are like the various parts of a human body, and each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. Do you hear that? Our lives have meaning only as we are part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And he goes on, this body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. And here's the important part. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. Now, as the ushers are going to be coming down at this time and passing out the ministry menus, I want you to look it over. Which part in the body are you? And the other thing I want to underscore is that the church does not have volunteers. The church has ministers in service. The difference is, what is it that motivates you? And when you're in ministry in service, you're doing so because you've prayed about it and you feel that the gift that God has given to you can best be used in a particular way. And Paul concludes his time here in these verses in Romans, and he says, let's just go ahead and be what we are made to be. You know, we are a body. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we don't say, my Father. We say, our Father. We're brothers and sisters in this together. We're a team. I was so excited to come and be a pastor at this church because it meant that I could be part of this staff team. Some churches, you know, have a thing on their weekly bulletin that says, ministers, colon, all the people who are members here. Pastors, and then it gives the name. We are all ministers together. My last church had a softball team. I wanted to support them. And so last spring when it came time, I signed up for the team. I'm a girl. I hadn't played softball since high school, and then I didn't play it well. I threw like a girl. But they were kind, and I came up to bat for the first time in the first inning. Lo and behold, I connected with the ball, and I started running toward first base. But I was so excited that I had hit the ball that I just kept watching where the ball was going and not where I was going, and I ended up falling over, and I think I still have the scar right here on the elbow from that big scrape. When you join a ministry team here at Christ Church, we train you. We don't put you right in the game. Training will be the month of January. And at the end of January, then, February 1, your term begins and lasts only for 1 year. So let me remind you, if you are already serving on a ministry team, in a ministry, and you want to continue to do that, you need to mark the box on your menu again so that you will be on that team again this year. But what you're signing up for is not a lifelong sentence, my friends. It is this year, at this time, how do I respond to God's call and claim on my life to be a part of this body of believers? There was a stitched needlework piece that hung on the farmhouse where my dad grew up. And the stitching said, one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. I know you have many demands on your time, especially if you're younger and have kids at home. But where's God's call and claim, and what is your part in this body? That saying is part of who I am, and when my mother died much too early when she was 42 years old, the weeks following my father and his grief, I'll never forget him, sitting at the kitchen table designing the headstone for her grave. And what is written on that stone? One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The church where I grew up, on the doorway coming into the sanctuary, it said, "Enter to worship." And on the doorway going out of the sanctuary, it said, "Depart to serve." So today, instead of singing another song or having a blessing and benediction, what I'd like to do now is to ask all the people who are staffing the tables here if they'll come forward and go to their spots. Some of these people have been here for all three services, so we thank you for your ministry of service. And my friends, we're all in this together. So here's your opportunity. Go up, get to know these people, and bring your menu and complete it, and there are baskets around for you to put your completed one in. And let me tell you, I'm just so much looking forward to this next year and to being in ministry with you. May it be so. Get up and get ready to serve.